saying that they are essential to build this bridge between the global sphere and the local sphere, and to bring the challenges and the worries of common people, common citizens, to the international arena. So, dear friends and colleagues, I look forward to hearing your insights on the interactions between the UN National Parliament and the IPU. And if the, and of course, again, let me thank you very, very much for being here with us today. I will start giving you the floor, but once the IPU president is not yet with us, can I now give the floor to the IPU Secretary General? Aha, Mr. Secretary General, I now see the president of the IPU. Senhor Presidente, muito bem-vindo.
Senhor Embaixador, um prazer.
Ótimo, é um prazer tê-lo aqui conosco.
Muito obrigado.
I will now turn to English. Again, let me reiterate that Agustin and Milenko will always be happy to help in the interpretation. So, Mr. President, the floor is yours. We are all very happy that we are here with us today. In normal times, we would be receiving you, Mr. President, along with the Secretary General in person in New York for a Portuguese breakfast. This is what we have, but we are very happy. The floor is yours.
Thank you so much. Dear friends, Ambassador Lopes, Mr. Secretary General, our colleagues, ambassadors, Paddy, it's an honor for me to address you in this meeting. And the first thing I want to say is that this is my first meeting with this group. I was elected 3 months ago. I prefer to have presidential meetings, but this is what is possible now. And thank you so much for your commitment with IPU. You know that for us, IPU, the collaboration with the United Nations is very important, is essential. But I think that this cooperation is important also to the UN. For us, of course, because in the end, many treaties, international conventions and so on, needs to be ratified in our parliaments. And so it is important to us to know and to understand all the process that the governments take to finish and to conclude a resolution or an international treaty. If not, we will have just a final text, and we parliamentarians just have a possibility to say yes or no. But also, this cooperation, it's important to UN. It is important to UN because I think that you know that, of course, UN is an organization of states, of governments, but this way, you have a more diversified opinion of the public opinion in each country. When we have a government, we will support by a majority. But when you have an intervention of a parliament, you will receive the position of different fields of the society. And so, these different ideas can also be important to the final to the result of the negotiations that you will address. And also, for us, it is essential to be committed with the UN agenda. Of course, IPU is an observer of the United Nations, but we will not have our own agenda. Of course, we have important issues like defend democracy, human rights, the state of law, but of course, the main issues of UN will be our issues as well. For instance, the hearing of last February about corruption, we know that the General Assembly will adopt a resolution about it. And so we decide to that our hearing in February was about the same item. And so we discuss with experts, with parliamentarians, with members of governments, and with UN directors about it. And so we hope that the final text will have our contribution as well. Also, because we are the same commitment with same goals. Of course, the SDGs. This is not a goal or issue to UN. It's something important to all humankind. And so this is not an issue just for governments. It's one issue to parliamentarians as well. But we can find other items that we can share the same priority, like to fight corruption, to fight terrorism, to have an intervention to keep peace and dialogue between countries and people. UN and IPU, we put on the same room UN usually governments. We, IPU, usually parliamentarians. But we put in the same room sometimes members from countries that don't have diplomatic relations, that have conflicts between themselves. But they are there, face to face, discussing to find solutions for their own problems. And it shows how important is our work and your work in the UN. But we know that the implementation of UN resolutions and agreements needs to have, may I say, a focus in the agenda of many parliaments to be ratified to so many countries as possible. And that's why we need to strengthen our collaboration. And so, here we are to work together. Dear colleagues, I know that some of you were members of parliaments, other ambassadors are from countries that had the presidency of IPU for a long time, and so you are committed with our organization, and I need to say thank you for your efforts to join IPU and UN on the same boat. Thank you so much for everything. You can count with me, you can count with IPU, and I know that our Secretary General, Martin Chundong, is always available to work with, to put everything on the table and to have all the links, possible links, with the United Nations and with this group. And of course, never forget Paddy, that in New York is our front office and front is our face to every time to you. Thank you, Paddy, also for your work. Mr. Ambassador, it is a pleasure, and I hope that next meeting it will be possible to join and to be in person. Please keep safe.
Muito obrigado, Sr. Presidente. Thank you very much, Mr. President. So it's precisely now to the Secretary General of the IPU, Martin Chungong, that I gladly give the floor.
Thank you so much, Mr. Ambassador. I really appreciate this opportunity you're giving us to reconvene this group of friends of the United, of the IPU. And Duarte, how are you?
Fine, thank you, Martin.
Yeah, very good. I think from the president's introduction, it is clear to all of us that the relationship between the IPU and the United Nations is a most important one. And if I may add, Mr. President, this relationship is statutory because our statutes clearly say that we work in support. We should work in support of the United Nations. And so the point is not whether we should support the United Nations, but how we should to achieve maximum efficiency, both for the IPU and for the Parliament and the United Nations. That's what we have been striving to do over the years. And we hope that in the course of your meetings, we can achieve a meeting of the minds on what it is that we can really realistically achieve with our collaboration with the ambassadors here. And if you allow me, I will just quote from our strategy, the vision that we have. And that vision is, we want a world where every voice counts, where democracy and parliaments are at the service of the people for peace and development. This is consistent with what you referred to, Mr. Ambassador, when you quoted the Secretary General of the United Nations. We want to see the IPU and parliaments as a tool for bridging the gap between the global and the local. And that is what informs the IPU's strategy. Let me also use the opportunity to clarify, sometimes there is some misunderstanding when it comes to the role of the IPU and parliaments. The IPU is the convener of parliaments to make sure that parliaments are doing what they are constitutionally mandated to do, to represent the people through lawmaking, holding government to account, providing the resources for government policies. And if this has to happen, we think that parliaments have to increasingly be aware of what is happening in international processes as articulated within the United Nations. And that's where we come to the debate at the United Nations. This is not to usurp the powers that are prerogatives that are accrued to the executive arms of government. We do understand that in the international law scheme of things, it is the executive arms that are responsible for negotiating and concluding international agreements. But it is important, if we need to support the United Nations and its outcome at the national level, for parliaments to be aware of what is going on at the international level. And as the Secretary General of the UN himself says, bring the challenges facing society, the local communities, to the United Nations. So again, I go back to what the president has said. We are talking about a win-win cooperation here, where we inform the deliberations at the United Nations and parliaments are better able to support the outcome of those deliberations at national level through those powers that they have by virtue of their constitutions. And in this day and age, we are facing a lot of challenges where I think they have been mentioned. There was a long list the ambassador mentioned coming out of the UN 75 declaration, whether it's climate change, youth, digital transformation, all of that. And for each one of these issues, parliaments need to exercise their constitutional powers. So I would like to argue that together we can work with you to bring these challenges to the United Nations, its deliberations, and make sure that there is a strong mandate coming out of the United Nations for continued involvement of parliaments, respectful of parliament's constitutional role. So if I go back to what we think could would be our expectations of our relationship with the United Nations. I would mention that when we started strengthening ties with the United Nations in the early 90s, we had four main expectations of our relationship with the United Nations. First, to bring the views of Parliament and parliamentarians to bear on UN decision-making processes. And we see a strong role there for you as representatives of states at the United Nations, to hold governments accountable for UN commitments, including international treaties and conventions, resolutions and declarations of UN bodies. Again, that is what I was referring to about local support for UN outcomes, which is important for us. And for that support to be effective, parliaments have to be aware of how those outcomes have been arrived at the international level, which makes the point for them to be involved. Then to familiarize parliaments with and build political support for the United Nations as the leading global governance institution. Today, COVID has shown, I think COVID, climate change, and all those global issues have shown that no one country can solve the world's problems alone. So there is a need for greater multilateralism, for more efficient multilateralism. And it is important we have identified some of the shortcomings in the multilateral system as we know it today. We hope that it is possible for the executive arms of government represented by the ambassadors in New York and the legislative arms of government represented through the IPU, that we can work together to find ways to strengthen the mechanisms of multilateralism and support for multilateralism. Lastly, to facilitate the implementation of UN agreements through enabling legislation and budgetary allocations. I think that is happening reasonably well. There is strong evidence out there that parliaments individually or collectively are promoting the implementation of the outcome of UN deliberative processes. We just need to scale this up. So those are the four components of our expectations of our relationship with the United Nations. As you will see, and as the president pointed out, this is mutually beneficial to the executive arm and to the legislative arm of government. So I would like to stop at this point and maybe just ask a few questions that you may want to address as friends of the IPU in a candid fashion, because we're here to learn too. From what I have said about the mission of the IPU, the vision of the IPU, is this the understanding of the member of you as a representative of states at the United Nations? Can you also maybe help us enlighten us on tools that are out there and approaches that we should be adopting in order to better influence or better inform deliberative processes at the UN and achieve outcomes that recognize the role of parliaments clearly and give them a mandate for parliaments to be more active in implementation? We would like to get your views on this, your advice on how we can work together. We do know that currently we have a big challenge because our status as observer, permanent observer to the UN, has limitations. How can we overcome those limitations and leverage the support that permanent representatives in New York and other stakeholders can give us? We are lucky that in your group you have former MPs, so they are familiar with the challenges that parliaments are facing when it comes to the relationship with the UN. So we rely on you to give us that advice, and I really would like to join the president to say that we are really counting on you for strong support, not because we want to be visible as an international institution, but because we want to prosecute a mandate that we have, that of making sure that parliaments are strong enough to contribute to deliberative processes at the international level and implementation processes at the local level. Thank you very much, Mr. Ambassador.
Thank you, Secretary General. Here is a wonderful introduction to our talk now. I will immediately give the floor to my friends and colleagues in New York, And I will start with Ambassador Ilale from Morocco. Omar, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, my good friend. First of all, I would like to thank the Permanent Mission of Portugal and the Office of the Inter-Parliamentary in New York for convening this informal meeting. I thank also Mr. Duarte Pacheco, the IPU president, and Mr. Martin Chungu, my good friend and brother, the IPU Secretary General, for their instructive remarks. We recognize that national parliaments and the inter-parliamentary union play an important role in the response and the recovery of efforts from the coronavirus disease, as well as in the areas of democracy and the rule of law, human rights, gender equality, and implementation of the SDGs. We are convinced that the United Nations must remain the cornerstone of strong and effective global action. By translating UN resolutions into effective national legislation, where appropriate parliamentarians lead as an example in defending multilateralism and a rules-based international order. In this regard, the implementation of the UN 75 declaration is an opportunity to reaffirm our collective commitments to the purposes and principles of the Charter of the United Nations and reinvigorate multilateralism. Morocco is fully engaged in the SDGs decade of action. We therefore call for realistic steps to turn the 2030 agenda into reality by redoubling our efforts to help implement it fully and effectively through actions in our respective parliaments. The role of parliaments in translating the 78 SDGs into reality on the ground is of paramount importance. The concerted efforts of all branches of government, legislative, and judiciary are conditioned for the implementation of the SDGs. In the COVID and post-COVID era, parliaments have a very important role as they work with executive to enact laws, adopt stimulus packages, and agree to recover measures in order not only to face the pandemic and ensure vaccination, but also to endeavor to socioeconomic recovery. Member of the Moroccan Parliament called on the application of the law firmly without compromising the rights and physical integrity of citizens, mainly women. They paid 1 month of their compensation to a special fund created to counter coronavirus outbreaks. They also donate part of their salary as contribution to this fund, drawing inspiration from the values of solidarity and mutual aid that have always funded Moroccan society, which values are enshrined in the constitution. Moreover, since the appearance of the pandemic, and in order to limit the risk of contamination and ensure the continuity of essential activities of the parliament, the secretaries general of the two chambers of the Moroccan parliament have set up a core group who continue to perform the vital functions of the administration, either physically or by active teleworking. In conclusion, I must underline that representatives of nations through their respective national parliaments have the obligation and responsibility to develop solid legal framework to ensure with full transparency the smooth running of vaccination operations by promoting equitable access to vaccines. I thank you very much.
Thank you, my dear Omar. Very important what you mentioned about the parliamentarian work now that we, in this effort to combat the pandemic and to make sure that we get the vaccine to everybody around the world. I have in my list Egypt, Chile, India, and Spain. So now the floor to the ambassador of Egypt, Ambassador Idriss Mohamed, my friend, you have the floor.
Good morning. Thank you very much. Obrigado, dear Francesco. And really, it's a great honor to be in this very important meeting with the Honorable President of IPU, Honorable Duarte Pacheco, and IPU Secretary General, Honorable Martin Shongong, and our dear dynamic friend, Patricia. And thank you for the virtual breakfast, virtual cookies, virtual coffee. And hopefully we can have a meeting in person sometime soon. And of course, needless to say that we are passing through maybe one of the profound challenges of our time, one of the most profound challenges indeed of our time, unprecedented situation. And of course, it's very much due to pay tribute to all who were the victims of this pandemic, including many parliamentarians and many of our sisterly countries. So really, this is a hard time, but it leads to be all of us to be up to the challenge of this time. And of course, we, as the UN had to have maybe a first ONGA, virtual ONGA in last September, also the IPU had to convene the Fifth World Conference of Speakers of Parliament virtually in August 2020. So we are passing through new experiences and new methods of work and life, which are unprecedented. And I think this underscores the important pivotal role of the national parliaments and the IPU, and also the efforts of the United Nations in response and recovery efforts of the pandemic, which should be people-centered and provide access without discrimination for the vaccine, and also addressing the multifaceted socioeconomic impacts of this crisis, which of course will affect the life of our people for years to come. And as the Honorable IPU President, Honorable Duarte mentioned, we have the same commitments and the same goals. And this is very true and very important. And it's also time to revisit our, because this crisis or this pandemic has been a defining moment and a revealing moment. So it's time for all of us, whether in the UN, whether in the parliamentary sphere, is to also revisit our methods of work and to draw lessons of the current pandemic, how we're able to respond, how we're able to cope, what needs to be rectified, what needs to be improved, and also to make better use of the information technology, which allowed us to meet in this virtual breakfast and finding new and effective ways of engaging with the citizens and sharing our best practices among parliamentarians in the use of innovative measures. And welcome the efforts of the IPU in tackling the issue of the misuse of social media and relevant to COVID-19 pandemic, in particular, the newly published social media guidebook for parliaments to build on the 2030 set of guidelines to help the parliamentarian on better communicating with people, as well as to address the spread of misinformation phenomena. So we think these are very welcome initiatives. And we'd like to emphasize also the importance of contributing of parliaments at the national and global levels, including through the multi-stakeholder partnerships in support of the accelerated implementation and achievement of the sustainable development goals by 2030. And we appreciate the report of the Secretary General on the interaction between the UN, national parliaments, and the IPU. And we are looking forward to the next report that should be submitted during the 76th session of the General Assembly, with a special focus on the implementation of the shared global objectives of the UN and IPU. And I think here is one important point about relevance. I think the UN, to be relevant, it has to be relevant to our people. And I think here the interaction between the parliamentarians and the IPU work at the UN is so crucial and so deeply seated and very vital, actually, to make the relevance of the work To make the UN relevance at the end, because at the end, it's not, if it's not relevant to our people, so it has no relevance indeed. Egypt reiterates its strong support to all the efforts aiming to strengthening the interaction between the UN national parliaments and the IPU, notably during our chairmanship of the IPU from 1994 to 1997, and we are committed to work closely with the IPU and member states to further improve the cooperation between the UN and the IPU. Much obrigado.
Thank you very much, Mohamed. You touched, I think, an essential point when you referred to how similar are the goals of the UN and of IPU, and also when you refer to the implementation of SDGs. And of course, parliaments are essential on, to make sure that SDGs are mainstreamed in national public policies. And that's also why we have been so keen in making sure that there's an important reference to the role of parliament in the resolution on the HLPF. So now to Ambassador Skoknich of Chile. Milenko, my friend, you have the floor.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Francisco. And also I would like to extend our gratitude to the IPU president, Duarte Pacheco, and to the Secretary General of the IPU, Martin Chung Wong, and of course our good friend Patricia for being here with us today, and also to your delegation, dear Francisco, for organizing this meeting as very relevant. Let me say that Chile has a very long tradition of collaborating with the IPU. We had throughout the years many delegations coming to most of the meetings that took part here in New York and of course Geneva and other parts of the world. I remember very well that I had received many times senators Juan Antonio Coloma or Juan Pablo Letelier and many others. So that collaboration is extremely relevant for us. And of course, we will help in approving the resolution, as you mentioned, regarding the text that is where we need to reflect the importance of collaboration, and we'll be working with all the colleagues that are here and with other delegations to make sure that the role of the parliaments around the world is well recognized and has been very relevant. One point where they have been very relevant is in some governments where sometimes the head of state doesn't have the majority in parliament, like happened in presidential systems like we do have. You need the collaboration of the parliament, who is the opposition mostly, to approve particularly these economic packages in order to have the recovery and the help that we need to provide to our citizens during these days. And I think that has been one important element of the work of parliament in many, many, many places around the world. And of course, that will have to continue because we haven't seen the end of the pandemic. We haven't seen the end of the economic downturn. And so we will have a long, long way to go in order to get closer to what we expected to achieve by 2030. When we approved the agenda in 2015, we were in a good track, but not now. And so we will have to work with parliaments approving laws and making sure that we will have a good package. Regarding Chile, we are regarding the parliament as well in Chile, we are in a complex year because it's a year that at the end, October and November, we will have parliamentary elections, full renovation of the lower chamber, the Cámara de Diputados, and renovation on the Senate, half of the Senate. So their minds at the moment, They are getting into, you know, the future. But there is an immediate future as well, because we will have a constitutional assembly election. We will write a new constitution. The other is from 1980. And originally, of course, it has been reformed many, many, many times. But still, you know, we will have a constitution and we will have to elect 170 people in April, in a month from today. So many members of parliament have resigned from their posts in order to get into the constitutional assembly because they think it's much more important what the work they will do there than the work that they can do in parliament. So, and also we will have primaries. I don't want to go into details, but let me say we will have four big elections from April, July, October, and November. November usually could be the second round for president. So in that context of the pandemic and the year and the future of each parliament, it's going to be difficult to make them concentrate on these other things that are extremely relevant. To finalize, I think we have to also say that we are very happy that in our country, the vaccines program has been advancing so, so well. We have over 24% of our population already covered at least with one doses, and maybe 8 to 10% with two doses. So that has been very good, although still the people infected and death are high. But we are progressing very strongly in order by a couple of more months to reach the 70% of our population with the vaccinations ready. And we are going to get them wherever they are producing the vaccines all over the world. It's not easy to find them, and it's not cheap to find them. But and also, not only that, but also to make them go to the end of the world, that is Chile. So with all the transportation and logistic elements that require this vaccine. So there's something positive there in order to have elections that make the people go and vote, because if they're afraid of having been infected, probably they will stay at home. So that's a little panorama of what I wanted to say, but we are ready to collaborate in all the other elements that my colleagues have already mentioned, and I think they are very relevant. And thank you very much for giving me the floor, Francisco.
Thank you, Milenko. And thank you also for the insights on your constitutional process. You are absolutely right when you said, and you said it very bluntly, that we are not on track for 2030 in dealing with the implementation of the 2030 agenda and of the SDGs. And of course, as you also said, the pandemic is pushing us even more behind. So it's even more important, I completely agree, to work together with the parliaments around the world to make sure that from now on we can accelerate, and especially from the moment we start to have good news. And on that, congratulations on Chile's program of vaccination. I got a photo of our ambassador in Santiago being vaccinated last week, along with an indication that Chile is in the podium of the vaccinations program around the world, one of the three countries that is most advanced. So congratulations also on that. And as we are speaking about vaccination programs, it's the right time to turn to Ambassador of India, Ambassador Tirumurthy. Tiru, you have the floor.
Thank you. Obrigado, Ambassador Francisco. Thank you very much for convening this meeting, and I'm very happy to participate. I would like to thank the president of the IPU for being able to attend this meeting. I would like to thank the IPU Secretary General, and also, of course, our IPU Ambassador Patricia as well. And I have had the good fortune to be associated with IPU since the mid-90s, when my first IPU conference in Bucharest attended, and then later in Berlin, and of course many times in Geneva itself. So I have known the work which IPU is doing. It's extremely important. It's a very old organization, and they have done tremendous work to spread democracy, pluralism all over the world. So I would like to first compliment the IPU for the important work which they are doing for all of us. One of the things which India has been doing for a very long time, for decades, is that when we send delegations to the IPU, and when we have to send a range of parliamentarians, whether it's the ruling or the opposition. But when we send delegations to UN, we do the same thing. We send parliamentarians as a part of the delegation, both from the ruling party as well as from the opposition party. And this is something we have found to be of great use for our parliamentarians. And I think that is a practice which needs to be taken forward. I know this is COVID times and we unfortunately do not have delegations coming here, but it's still important to involve the opposition in whichever way we can, the parliamentarians. In fact, I do recall that, one of our opposition leaders who came here as a part of the, our Indian delegation to the UN later went on to become the Prime Minister of India. So, I mean, therefore, there is always a bipartisan support for the UN, bipartisan support for the IPU. And this we found is a very important and very good practice, which, many countries are already doing. It's not as if they are not doing. And I'm convinced that this collaboration between the IPU and UN will enrich both organizations. And in UN, we have just adopted the UN at 75. And I think the IPU has a very, very important role in not just informing the parliamentarians of where we stand on issues, particularly on the SDGs, but also the other way around, that the feedback which IPU gives to the UN is extremely important. And therefore, this coordination between the IPU and UN, we feel is vital. And in many ways, it is relevant because IPU is committed to democracy and pluralism and multilateralism. And so are we in the United Nations. And during COVID time, there has been tremendous pressure on all these important principles and values which we all of us hold dear. And these are coming under pressure. Within the countries, forces are taking advantage of COVID and trying to weaken these structures. Outside, we have terrorists and others who are trying to take advantage of this and trying to weaken these structures. And that is where I think the relevance of strengthening our democratic polity, our pluralism, and also the importance of that. We have been discussing it in the UN. It's not as we have. And that's why the relevance of this comes, of the IPU, that how can we strengthen these things, in the context, particularly in the context of COVID, when there are threats which are coming in. So therefore, that is another area where I think it's important for the UN to be informed by IPU. IPU has just tremendous wealth of knowledge on this. We appreciate the IPU's initiatives, for example, in the raising the parliamentary support for health, in women's, children, older persons' health, promoting universal health coverage, addressing public health emergencies. And these are things which we appreciate the initiatives of IPU. And I also am very happy that, India was able to participate in the recent IPU briefing for young parliamentarians on the need for Security Council reform. And so therefore, I think these are initiatives, the youth, the focusing on the youth, how importance of democracy, importance of these values on the youth. We appreciate IPU's role on these. And of course, in the context of COVID, and, Ambassador, you already mentioned that, we are committed both as executive and as parliamentarians. They have worked together and they are, trying to reinforce each other to see that India's facilities for production of vaccines can be used for all humanity. And apart from our own initiatives about more than 70 to 75 countries, we are also working closely with COVAX, we are working with UNICEF, we are working with a lot of countries to make sure that whatever we can do, we are doing our own internal vaccination also for 1.3 billion people, but we also know that we have the capacity to also, so I think the recovery package, I think, that is important because I just heard that remark, and I think it's very important for recovery packages and how can the parliamentarians help countries come together and come forward and put these together. And so I think, I don't want to, I'm sorry, I took a lot of your time, but I just felt that we have an important role. And at a time when, there is a pressure on us as an institution, instead of, dissipating our energies on those which divide us, I think IPU can show UN the way on how to bring different views together and make the UN a very focused organization which can achieve its goals. Thank you very much, Ambassador.
Thank you, Ambassador. Thank you, my friend Thiru. And again, we are especially grateful that you could be here today with us, even being now a member of the Security Council. I especially like that you mentioned this feedback, not only from the UN to the parliament, the national parliaments, but also the other way around, the feedback from the national parliaments to the UN. And this also serves our event today to make sure, to make it clear to the president, to the secretary general, to Patty Thornsday here in New York, that this group of ambassadors is here at your service to make sure that the messages from the IPU and from national parliaments in general really get through into the UN system. And just a word again on vaccination, my dear Tiru, to especially highlight how important is the role of India, as you said. So at the same time, making sure that you vaccinate more than 1 billion people, and making sure that at the same time you are helping all of us around the world with the vaccines, with spreading vaccines around the world. Now I'll give the floor to the ambassador of Spain, Ambassador Santos Maraver. Agustín, you have the floor.
Mucho obrigado, querido Francisco. I would like also to extend my appreciation for their presence and this conversation to President Duarte Pacheco, to Mr. Chungong, and of course to Patricia, the head of the IPU office here. I have to start confessing that I am also a senior. For 3 years, I was the head of the parliamentary office of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Madrid, and I had the honor to accompany many of the parliamentary delegations when they practice what we call parliamentary diplomacy, you know. And so I'm very much convinced that there is a very important link, and it's essential to maintain that connection between what we call the Parliament of Humanity, the United Nations, and those parliaments where the democratic sovereignty of our peoples, it's there, and it's debated every single day. And this connection, it's more important than ever now, because as we know, we have gone through a very difficult period in which the fight against pandemic has forced us to have confinements. We have limited in a way the capacity of that debate until we have learned to extend the digitalization process and to apply it to democracy. And so the connection between the local agendas and the global agendas has become now redefined by that digitalization. So one of the first things that probably we have to learn is how to expand, how to reinforce democracy through digitalization, and how we can extend it to all the levels, all the different levels of self-government, which combine structure our democracy in this 21st century, from the parliaments of humanity until the local governments, with the central core for democracy in our national parliaments. The second message, to be very brief, is that obviously you can count with our support, with our commitment to pass this resolution. It's more important than ever to reinforce the relation between the EPU and the United Nations. If we do not convince everybody of the importance of that collaboration to put forward the global agenda, the global problems that we are facing will not be resolved. And that has to be also a question of convincing and participation, everybody in our local parliaments, in all different kinds of levels in which we structure our democracies. And this is our message. Count with us, support for the resolution, and thank you so much for maintaining this activity in these hard times. Thank you very much, Francisco. Muito obrigado.
Muchas gracias, Agustín. Thank you, my dear friend. It's very thoughtful, as always, the reference you made to digitalization and how it can be used to expand the reach of democracy. And also, of course, connected to that, also to expand the expectations of people around the world, which makes even more important this this cooperation between the UN and the IPU to make sure that the responses arrive to people, and that the responses arrive to people on time. on time. So thank you very much. Now I will turn to my friend, the ambassador of Namibia, Ambassador Gertse. Neville, you have the floor.
Dear Francisco, I hope you can hear me.
Yes, very well. Go ahead.
Thanks. I'm really delighted to join this discussion this morning. Francisco and Patricio, thank you so much. Patricia, thank you so much for organizing this meeting for us. I want to join in thanking the president of the IPU for his remarks this morning, and in particular to highlight that indeed we are all on the same boat as the ambassadors here, as the UN, together with the IPU. We collectively represent a major instruction and responsibility, that of looking after the well-being of the people we serve. And I think it is a symbiotic relationship that we must take seriously at all times to ensure that we translate the aspirations of the people we represent into concrete results that improve their lives. And this, to me, is critical, because we find often that in the communities, there isn't a clear understanding or even an appreciation of what do you people do at the UN? How does what you do translate to us on the ground? And when the colleagues who have spoken before me highlighted that important link, that we get the feedback from the communities, but also their suggestions and their inputs that shape what we do on this end of our responsibility, that helps us to better appreciate our role. But also through this partnership with the IPU, they have their tentacles directly to the people on the ground to translate to them what it is that we are doing here. And we need to do more of that outreach, more of that awareness promotion amongst the electorate to understand how interconnected we are, and particularly what is contained in Agenda 2030, all those targets that speak to how we want to improve the well-being of all of us. So I really just want to commend this this partnership and this friendship we have, and to wish us all continued success in striving towards achieving Agenda 2030 and its targets, and that we all get out of this pandemic that has elevated the challenges that our people experience. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Neville, my friend. And I noted this phrase you use: what do you people do at the UN? And really, it's very important that we keep on deepening the quality of the messaging, of the communication of the United Nations in general, but also to our citizens in our countries. I don't have a direct experience with parliamentary affairs at Tiru or Agustin, but I worked in three different offices of members of government, actually from three different political parties, and by then, for example, for my family members, because they knew I was working for some time, although I'm a civil servant, for some time in the office of a politician, an elected politician, they knew very well what they were doing, and they were very keen in criticizing them, the elected politicians with whom I was working by then. Now that I'm working here in New York with the UN, they are not so keen in criticizing, but you are completely right, Neville. The most common question I get from my friends in Portugal and my family members is precisely about what we are doing and the result of what we, the concrete result of what we are doing here. So, my dear friends, Thank you very much, everybody. I think we can finish our conversation on time, but I don't want to conclude without asking the president of IPU, Mr. President, can I get the floor back to you just for some very short concluding remarks, and then I will ask the same to the Secretary General.
Thank you, Ambassador. It is a thank you so much for your contributions.
Sorry, Artur, I think you need to unmute the president.
You have to unmute the phone. Não tem som.
I think that
you have to unmute the microphone.
Yes, just
sorry.
A second, please.
It's the one that's connected to the computer. There you go.
Yeah, it's okay. Thank you. Thank you, Ambassador. Thank you for all your contributions. It was very important. And I think we have an agreement. This collaboration between UN and IPU is a win-win cooperation. And so we need to go forward for it. And please, let me talk just about two or three things. There are issues that are very important for us in IPU. The gender and youth participation in politics. This is crucial for us. And I know that this is also important to the UN. Because if UN wish to have the participation in all humankind, it is not possible to forget a part of it. And also, yes, digitalization is a danger to democracy. And we need to learn how to live, how to work with it. It's something that, something new, of course, but we are studying this, and this is in our point of agenda to discuss between ourselves. And finally, about the vaccine. Ambassador, you know that the Portuguese Health Ministry bought 40 million vaccines. But we Portuguese, we are just 10 million. And so a great part of it will go to countries in Africa that needs to be needs the vaccination program, and they don't have resources to buy it. And so the vaccination process needs to be global. No one can be forget in this process. And if someone has not resources to buy it, the others may help us. These special situations and these special countries. We will do the Portugal, a small country, what we need. But I think that it can be a process to everyone, because only we will win just this pandemic when everyone receives the vaccine all over the world. And finally, it's impossible to forget that this pandemic is not just a health problem. When we solve it, we will have an economic and social problem. Poverty is growing. The unemployment is growing. And so the divergences between rich and poor is growing. And so parliaments, governments, we need to find solution for it, because we wish a world where everyone can live a better life. We are not waiting for it. It happened, of course. But the solutions can be built right now to put in practice as soon as possible when we win the health pandemic. Thank you so much, ambassadors. It is a pleasure to be with you. I know that this cooperation, with the collaboration of the Secretary General and our office in New York, will be very strong for the future. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. And again, we are honored to have you here today. Muito obrigado. Secretary General.
Thank you, good friend Ambassador. I don't want for this meeting to run over. I just want to say thank you to you and your colleagues for your time today. I think that we come away from this meeting reassured that you are convinced and we are convinced of the importance of the relationship between the UN and the IPU. The word relevance has been used on several occasions during this meeting. We together can work to prove that multilateralism is relevant. Multilateralism, as articulated by the United Nations, and for that matter, the IPU, is relevant to our people. And that takes me to the point that was made, the question that was asked. What do you people do at the United Nations? I think that the IPU and parliaments can help, as the Secretary General of the UN said, to educate the public on what it is the UN is all about and why you have representatives of the UN. And they need to see the impact of the outcomes of the deliberations at the UN. And I think that for more engagement between the IPU, parliaments, and the United Nations can help create that body of knowledge that can be disseminated locally. So I come away from this meeting also understanding that we have a common understanding of some of the major challenges facing the global community. COVID and post-COVID recovery are going to be with us for a long time. And so it is important that we are working together to see how this can be, implementation of measures can be done in a way that is of utmost benefit to the people. I think that it is something that is crucial. But generally, I am very reassured that some of the questions that I raised in my introductory remarks are being answered. I do see that there is an understanding among yourselves and that there is that commitment among you to push for stronger engagement between the parliamentary community and the United Nations, because you are already convinced of the importance of this relationship. So we want, again, to continue to rely on your ongoing support. And we hope that we can, you, Ambassador, can convene this meeting on a regular basis without imposing an extraordinary burden on your colleagues, so that we can continue to brainstorm on what it is that we can do together to advance the common agenda of the IPU and the United Nations. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Secretary General, and be sure that we are available to call this meeting regularly. Last but not least, Patricia.
I simply want to say obrigado and thank you, all of you, for participating. And if there are specific ways that you wish for us to stay in touch with you, I'm sure the ambassador and I will be very happy to make sure that we establish those. And again, thank you for your support on during Friday's, tomorrow, I guess, negotiations and all the work that you do on behalf of the people. In a different way than parliamentarians do, but with the same common understanding. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Patricia. And again, thank you and your team for this very smooth cooperation in organizing this event and all around the year. And again, very honored to have the President and the Secretary General. Thank you very much. Muito obrigado. And thank you so much, dear friends and colleagues, to all of you, but also to the colleagues of Zimbabwe and Bangladesh who followed our meeting. And I ask our colleague Mr. Moharam to also transmit how thankful we are to the ambassador of Saudi Arabia for being with us in the beginning of the meeting. We know he has another meeting starting at 9. So again, dear friends and colleagues, thank you very much and see you soon.
Thank you. Thank you very
much. Obrigado. Obrigado. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Au revoir, mes amis. Obrigado.
Best wishes. Best wishes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Obrigado.
Bravo. Thank you. Martin, did you want to stay? You're on mute.